Welcome to Radio 5G with Michael Henry Dunn, Nancy Hopkins, and friends, a Cosmic Reality Radio production.
When all the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be. Oh, let it be.
Thank you for listening. Apologize for that. We're live.
That's all right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Radio 5G. This is Michael Henry Dunn with my co-host, Nancy L. Hopkins. And Radio 5G is a joint production of Cosmic Reality Radio and the Sacred Academy of Geoenergetics, acronym SAGE, here in Crestone, Colorado. And we are very glad to have back with us today our good friend Mark Steele from the UK, who is going to share with us today a lot of developments that are both encouraging and really hard to hear about at the same time, because this is a pretty serious fight we've got on our hands. In the meantime, good morning from Colorado, Nancy.
Yes, and if anybody tells you that the stream wasn't up on 5G radio, that's true. For some reason, I spaced out putting up that radio station. I've got us up on Cosmic Reality, but it's up now. It's up now. So,
okay. So we're on both.
Yeah, 5G are up.
Hello, all you people. Good morning.
Sorry about
that. And welcome, Mark. Good to have you back.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, well, you know, it's let's just put it like this. Things are moving in a very, very positive direction. We're getting lots. There's a mass awakening to this 5G. They have absolutely overstepped the mark. I'm getting contact from the US, Australia, all over the continent. People are starting to wake up to this, and it's becoming very, very busy, where I'm spending lots of time talking to people and talking to activists from around the country. But there's lots. We actually in the UK now have got hundreds of groups setting up in towns, villages, cities, right across the country. In fact, the mainstream media, believe it or not, they are starting to cover this, not in exactly the outrageous technology that it is, but they're still starting to cover it as a health risk. Instead of, you know, all of the mainstream media were covering it as a security risk, we're starting to see, it was in the Bristol Live News, it was in the Leeds Live News. These are online groups, media groups, where they're talking about the health effects, the detrimental health effects, and that there's no research to show that this stuff's safe. Well, there's never going to be any data to show that 5G is safe, because 5G was developed as a weapon system. Anybody that thinks it's going to be safe, or there's any test that would ever even believe it to be safe, have got something either wrong with them, if they know the technology, or they're just deceivers and, you know, not being genuine about, you know, basically trying to deflect people from the reality of what 5G is, or they just don't know. So anybody that knows anything about 5G knows that it's very, very dangerous. It has to be. It was developed by the world's military as a weapon. Killed quite a lot of people. In fact, I know a couple of US ambassadors in the Moscow embassy weren't very well, and they died. Developed themselves leukemia from a pulse frequency from a 2.5 gigahertz weapon system. That's the same weapon system, by the way, that you've got in your home. That's the same Wi-Fi that your technology companies can come into your home and change the parameters of the Wi-Fi in your home and weaponize it on top of you.
Let me just jump in here for a second, because you made the remark about the Moscow embassy and the ambassadors. There were three of them. One after the other that died. I happened to have been in the military when all of this was transpiring. And I got a call, and because I was a Soviet military expert and for the Army. And I got a call, and it was from one of my upper-level commanders who said that the State Department had call them to find out, is their weapon system somehow causing cancer in the Moscow embassy? So as a remote viewer, I scanned it, and I went, oh, crap. This thing is full of microwaves. So I called him back, and I said, please have NSA go check for microwave. Now, it turned out there was microwave. He called me back. Thank God he called me back. And he said that they found the transmitter in the Great Seal in the conference room. And I said, darling, you got a lot more in there. Have them keep looking. There's more. Now, at the time, the guy that talked to me and the State Department guy that talked to him, none of us knew that they had known about the microwave intrusion on the embassy for years, since the 50s. This was 20 years later. Now, what that indicates to me is that even though, and this is so typical of what happens within the military, and this comes from the concept of departmentization and need to know. And this comes directly out of Nazi Germany. This is how they were able to control their military, because they kept putting them in compartments so that they weren't seeing the whole thing. You know, keep them in a limited place and you can't see the whole thing. Now, the fact of the matter is that I do not believe that the Soviets intended for that system to be considered a weapon. I don't think that they knew how damaging it was to the physical bodies. I think what they were doing was an intelligence op. And just the same thing that, I mean, this is where it led them. Right, was to be able to control people because of the microwave. Because what happens is that when you take a room and you fill it with microwave signals, those microwave signals will react to your voice. So they were able to put in a modulating carrier signal within the embassy itself. So anywhere in the embassy that anybody said anything, it would actually modulate that system. And when it got back to the receiver, all of that modulated, the change to the carrier signal was intelligence. I don't believe they were intentionally trying to kill them, because it was a great intel op. Why would you mess it up by trying to kill people? That wasn't their modus operandi. So
very good point. Yeah.
Nancy, can I?
Yeah.
Can I? Just a quick question. Excuse me, Mark. So I'm assuming that in a situation like that, Nancy, in the embassy, they would ordinarily do a sweep for bugs, right? And you know, the NSA or whomever else. CIA, you know, whatever, the station chief, they would assume that the embassy was bugged, and they would do regular sweeps for conventional bugs, right? But this was out of the ordinary, and, you know, as we know, a precursor to 5G with millimeter waves. And so this was beyond the ken, so to speak, beyond the range of an ordinary bug sweep?
Yes. At that time, remember, we're talking about the 70s, okay? See, the thing of it is, because I didn't know about I thought, okay, they've just started this up, because the reason that I even have any comprehension of it, I was in electronic warfare, and I knew what we could do, okay? So I'm assuming, okay, I'm seeing all this microwave radiation, I'm going, I bet they've done exactly what we do, which was highly, highly classified. I mean, this went beyond top secret, you know. Mm-hmm. So my feeling is that it's part of the, you know, dumb them down by the military in the 70s. An officer was being transferred anywhere between 2 and 3.5 years. So how do you know what's really happening if you're only in a post for 3.5 years, 4 max? You don't see it, because before you get to understand it, you're someplace else. And so shifting around all the people kept them crazy. But I was criticality of mission, and I was not moved. I stayed there. And so I got to see more and more of the problems. And the problems really come down to the inability to communicate knowledgeable, good knowledge. You know, not just to be little robots, but to understand the full implications of the organization that you're in. And so I think the same thing happened back in the 50s. So 54, I think, was when they first detected it. They wouldn't have probably known the dangers. B, if they had known them, they wouldn't have told anybody. C, I think they either underestimated it or didn't understand it or said, oh, look at the Soviets are listening to us. Let them listen. Because there is so much collusion throughout the system. You know, for some people, the Soviets / Russians are your ultimate enemy. For other people, it's like, let's tell them they're the enemy and keep them going. You know?
So, right, because we need the game to run the military-industrial complex profits.
Right, because when they went back and I specifically told them, tell NSA to look for microwave. Okay, so that when the NSA went in, they knew exactly the frequencies they had to look for. And they found it. So whether or not they were unaware, I don't know. I don't know, Michael.
Well, as long as we're talking about this, you know, about the military applications, the surveillance applications of millimeter microwave technology and 5G, you know, there are, of course, now in the public domain, patents that were applied for decades ago around this kind of technology, which was specifically for thought control, mind control, to influence brain waves. To what extent, and I know there's stuff Mark needs to share with us about what's going on in the UK. I don't want to delay that, but as long as we're on this topic, is there... You know, are there traceable direct effects of what is being put in place now with the 5G rollout that we can legitimately raise the concern of not just a surveillance system, not just a weaponized system, which we know it can burn and kill, but also a brain control thought influencing system? Do we have solid information to share on that? I've seen bits and pieces here and there about, you know, patents that exist. Is there something we can bring out and share right now, with it's other than just speculation, on 5G in that regard?
Well, maybe Mark knows more about specifics, but I can tell you they're doing it simply because if the science has been there for so long. You know, you hear about the science and you don't see it applied. And you have to be watching for this. I mean, one of the telltale signs that I would watch for as an intelligence officer spying on the Soviet Union, okay, was to go back and look at technical scientific magazines and discussions of what theoretically they thought they could do. And then to watch and see when this drops off. Because what would happen is that scientists get together and they go, oh wow, you know, if you use this microwave thing, you can control people's minds. Okay? So they all start discussing it. They do a little science on it. And then all of a sudden it goes dead silent. As soon as you see dead silent, you know that the state of the Soviet Union was taking over the information. All right, and so now you go, okay, they're trying to make this real. And so I think the same thing can be said. We know there's all these patents and everything, but, you know, boom, all of a sudden it goes, you know, semi-silent, and then it comes back up because people find the patents. But I guarantee you this is part and parcel of what they're attempting to do, is to control, not necessarily come out and kill initially, but to control.
Yeah, this is something that I saw a video of, and Mark, you may want to comment on this at some point, that I saw. It was a video of a Ed Langley on a scientific level where you have all these CIA bureaucrats in a room, and this is a very, you know, dry, dull sort of meeting, and this one fellow is presenting some findings regarding either a chemical element that could be put into an aerosol spray that could conceivably be sprayed over a population, and that they had found that this element or combination of chemicals could actually have a genetic effect. They were proposing to possibly spread this over the Middle East, because they found a way to access the genetic code that actually hardwires the human being to seek higher reality, to seek meaning, transcendence, basically to seek God. And I said, hey, you know, we found a way to actually switch that off. Wouldn't it be great if we could turn all these Muslim fundamentalists who are all, you know, crazy about God, we could just switch that off and sort of dumb down their impulse to seek the divine. Well, you know, they're probably not going to confine that to just the Middle East and Muslims, though, of course, Muslims are also, you know, a very large population in Indonesia and India, etc. But do you think that they would confine that technology and say, well, let's keep our own population, you know, safely away from the God thing as well, because in the long run, without actually naming it as such, they could say that's really not in line with our agenda and our design for Americans. I just put that out there because it appeared very solid, very technical, scientific, and it was proposed. It was like, you know, well, we might want to roll this out. And I know, Mark, that you have brought out and looked at, you know, okay, what are the values and agenda behind this rollout? It's difficult to call it anything but evil and to acknowledge that there is deliberate, conscious agenda of anti-divine, anti-the soul, anti-spiritual growth, anti-life, ultimately, which is what we call evil. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that out into the field since we're discussing these issues. I'm kind of trying to search for a good segue here to get into what Mark was sharing with us. Is there anything, Nancy, that you want to comment on from what I've just said before we ask Mark to share the news from the UK?
Just get me the link. But Mark, do you have anything to say regarding that particular subject?
That particular subject, yeah, it's a fake narrative. I can pretty dispel the narrative. What actually happened? You can't sell to the security service, any military organization, that you're going to wipe out all of that population. So you've got to give them something to go off. You've got to be able to tell them that this is actually a control. Let's control the masses. Let's spy on them. Let's control them, because that's what you see on the tin. I know this technology really well, and that's what it's able to do. It's battlefield interrogation. And the reason why the telecoms companies are currently using sub-gigahertz is it's an urban environment long-range radar piece of equipment. So, but here's the rub. Here's the bit where it gets really interesting. The mainstream narrative state that you've got to have these transmitters every few houses because higher frequency, that's what they're telling us. It's higher frequency, so they've got to be closer. So we need lots, billions more of them, like every couple of homes. We need them every couple of homes because it doesn't travel very well. It is a crock. It's a fabrication. Reason for that, it's a kill grid. It's a weapon, and it's yet a mass kill. The population of the US here, the West. If you look at the capacity of the equipment, I have 31,875 streetlights in a small, stinky little town called Gateshead. That's obviously run by a load of Luciferian devil worshippers. Now, I say that because obviously there is, they've got history here, you know, a bit of Luciferian worship, etc. And obviously, if you want to control groups, those circles can be very, very interesting. A lot of it in the military here, you know, in this military intelligence, a lot of spirituality, basically on the devil side, because some of the things these people have to do, you've really got to be a devil. You've got to be a monster to be able to, you know, the sexual perversions against children and all about the traffic and stuff like that. And they obviously have to acquiesce to that because with the intelligence equipment we've got globally, it's very easy to track these child traffickers. But obviously somebody just doesn't want to because there's another agenda. But the 31,875 streetlight fitments, each one a normal, let's say, if I was to buy off the shelf a board that was to switch a light on and off, you probably need something in a region, 3.5 electron volts, 12 volts, you know, a nice cheap board, something you buy for about 50 pence. Buy them off the shelf in China, go to Shenzhen, you get somebody building one for you. What I wouldn't do is build a board with a 450 volt capacitor attached to it. So we've got 31,875 boards with a high gain dielectric lens with a 450 volt capacity. It's an EMP, it's electromagnetic pulse weapon. It's just one of its weaponized parts, because obviously it can shoot you as well. It can target acquire and shoot. It's quite a bit of sophisticated equipment. What it's not capable of doing is switching the lights on and off. That's why the lights are on all over. So the agenda, see, how do you sell to your local intelligence agents the fact that you're going to murder everybody? Well, they wouldn't go for that, would they? It's very unpalatable. You'd have to get a pretty spooky type of guy to want to go for that. Maybe he's only a devil worshipper. But the capacity of the equipment here to kill, it is not yet a spy. That is a myth. The control grid is not true. I'm looking at the technology. I'm looking at the capacity. The MIMO tanks have got cooler tanks. They're going to pour that much energy into them. They need cooler tanks to stop them from burning out. Because when they take out your home, when they take out you, like they did in Paradise, because Paradise was an EMP test, it was either accidental or it was actually a testing ground. It was a testing ground to see how quickly, how fast it could take EMP and how they could take those buildings out and incinerate. I don't know, the reports, anything on 20,000 or 100,000 people have just been cremated. There's nothing left of them.
Mark, can we just slow down here for 1 second, because I really would like you to explain, just sort of like think about Paradise and tell the people step by step what happened there. Can you do that? Because I think if they can understand what already happened, let's use it as an example of what can happen.
Right, well, Paradise was one of two things. It was either an accidental EMP or it was a deliberate EMP. I'm not really sure because I didn't pull the trigger. Now, what I mean by that, if where energy companies coming in up to people's properties and fitting smart meters, all of these smart meters have an overcapacity potential. They have massive potential to pour significant amounts of microwave radiation into your home. It's what's called overburden. So that by the time I fill your home with your smart TV, your deck phone, your Wi-Fi, and let's say I just come in remotely, all of these devices can be activated remotely. They can come in, they can switch them on. You switch them off, I can switch them back on remotely. So I can come into your home and I can switch all them on, I can turn them all up, all at the same time. And then if I have an overcharge, an overburden, or I want to set off an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, then I'll just incinerate you and your home. So, and how that happens, you've built your home up into this microwave pulsing primed building where all the hydrocarbon, you know, your plasterboard, your timber, you're basically 99% water. So I'm basically just, charging you up. And then when you're pulling over an EMP, you just vaporize. And that's the images. If you look at the images in Paradise.
Wait, 1 second. I want that to be very clearly understood. He said the word, you will be vaporized. That means you're going to go poof, disappear. Now, let me just stop you here so that people can understand why. Again, I'm going back into history. I was explained to me a system back in 1976 that it was an electromagnetic pulse, and if it was completely in sync with your body, what would happen was it would disrupt, jam your system to a degree that the molecular cohesion of your body would be lost, and you would go into a white light flame, boom, gone. And it happened. They actually activated. That's how I know that it happened. So if it's off, if it's not completely focused, well, then you get, you know, deranged in your mind, or maybe you'll have a heart attack or something. But by this time, they know exactly the frequency at which the average human body will lose molecular cohesion. So they don't even have to worry about killing you and then having bodies. They just get rid of your body and you in one quick pulse.
Right. And if I could just point out here, when we're talking about, first of all, Paradise, California, and the fires there, and how an EMP would be used in this way. In case some of our listeners aren't aware, the nature of the fires in Paradise, California, there were many firemen who said, we have never seen fire behave in this way. There are many instances in which a building not near the trees that were on fire would just suddenly implode in flames. Multiple occasions. And yes, there are certain conditions under which at a certain level of heat, a building will burn, suddenly catch fire so quickly that it looks like that. We're talking veteran firefighters saying they have never seen anything like this, and that this appeared to be a targeted energy weapon system that was being tested in Paradise. And, you know, we happen to know of someone who has done a lot of research on the deep state, on the cabal, et cetera, who had a huge amount of research, hard copy research in his home, lived in Paradise, and poof, gone. It was all vaporized. But I just want to touch briefly on the whole EMP thing, because it's my understanding, you know, people listening to us describe this, listening to the white flash of a dechemicalization, of the vanishing of a human being in a moment. They're like, well, okay, maybe they can do this, but, you know, how would you possibly get away with this? I mean, just, you know, having people vaporize or disappear, it would be so obvious. People would be so outraged. You know, they could never get away with this. Well, the whole concept of an EMP and how it would be used and the repeated attempts to create a state of martial law through a false flag in this country, and, you know, other countries have used it historically as well. Of course, we know, you know, that Nazi Germany, Kristallnacht, and other historical incidents where deliberate fires and bombs were set to blame on the Jews to trigger the Holocaust. The same thing here, where the White House comes out, as it did recently, with the whole set of protocols about how the U.S. would survive an EMP. How would we prepare for an EMP, a weaponized electromagnetic pulse, presumably set off by a low-level in the atmosphere nuclear explosion or an EMP device that would knock out the satellite system, would knock out, you know, that it would be very plausible to, once you have done that, suddenly the grids go down, the government declares this was an EMP by a hostile power, be it China or Russia, martial law is declared. At that point, they can take out whoever they want. You know, the checks and balances of the Constitution are gone. They're mostly gone already, but they're, even the observation of them is gone. The ability to communicate with each other and say, holy crap, they just vaporized my aunt sitting in her, you know, in her rocking chair. That's all gone. And it's at that point, I think, if you're looking at a major depopulation agenda where the puppeteers behind the puppeteers, maybe even the puppeteers behind the puppeteers behind the puppeteers, who want to see a global war, would be using this. So I just wanted to frame that story for our listeners. Please continue, Mark, with your description of how this rolled out, both as a weapon and an EMP or thought-control device.
Let me just go back here for a second to where he was, because what he's saying is that when you put these 5G devices into your home, you are now connected to the 5G system. And that 5G system is now bombarding you with microwave energy that is actually creating a very unstable situation within your own physical body, never mind the structure of your own home. And so I think I'm correct on that, Mark. And so that's where you were. You were explaining that, you know, it's like they set the bomb and then the trigger for the explosion is the smart meter. Is that correct?
Well, either smart, it can be smart meters, but it can be 5G. The 5G, what we've got is the mini cells. And obviously in these microcells in the streetlights. The microcells in the streetlights have got massive overcapacity. I mean, I showed it to a judge in the case when I was in the court, when I was actually in the witness stand. And the judge, I said to him, Your Honour, I said, that there is a control management system for a light. It operates on 12 volts. I said, in this piece of equipment, this bit of hardware, which looks pretty chunky, pretty heavy duty stuff, I said, this is the equipment that's fitted in the streetlights in Gator. And I says, one is actually what's called a DEW, direct energy weapon, because obviously I've got the target acquiring antenna. This one's actually got a target acquiring antenna piece of equipment attached to it. So I was explaining that to him. I could see his jaw smart on. First time, you know, he's probably heard that the local authority have rolled out a weapon system on top of the citizenry. And, you know, these judges, it's. I think I've had about five judges up there now, and they've all read my skeleton argument, all know what's going on, which is bizarre to say the least. But that's acquiescing in a human rights crime, because that's what 5G most certainly is. I mean, we had some terrible news last night. A young boy, I knew his mother contacted me about a year ago. Through a friend asked me about this 5G and whether it would cause strange cancers. And I said, well, it's experimental, it's an 868, we're not really sure. And obviously the phased array radar, so the scanning part of it, I said, we're not really sure what type of cancer, but yeah, I can guarantee we'll have some strange ones. And we'll definitely have quite a lot of brain cancers, strange brain cancers. You know, not be the normal, you know, the glioblastoma from mobile phones. These will be a lot more strange, in which that's what we're starting to see, because we've had a couple locally who've had brain cancer. I just had a report yesterday of a young girl who've had brain cancer. But going back to this young boy had developed a very interesting cancer, heart cancer. So his mother sent me all the details of it. Now, I'm not going to mention who they are, what really happened in relation to that, but I checked up the cancer, and lo and behold, the cancer was extremely rare and has only ever been attributed to radar operators. Very, very rare. So the fact that a five-year-old, well, obviously he was four-year-old at the time, a five-year-old child would develop this type of illness is unbelievable and incontrovertible, that it is the streetlight phased array, illegal, unlawful, secret rollout of 5G in the gated area, that is most certainly the cause. And that poor little lad died yesterday.
My condolences to you, Mark, because I know that your heart must have been involved in the family. What he's saying here to you, it rings very true with me, because when I realized the dangers of all this stuff, it was, I was out of the military. Well, I was still in the military, but in the reserves. And my brother, who was in the Navy, he came down to Florida because he had to do some Navy work off the coast. And so I got him to tell me what he was doing, and I didn't realize that he was working with radars. And I said, whoa, I said, how long have you been working? He says, well, that's what my job is. I work with radars. And I tried to explain to him the problem with radars is it's the same thing that's in 5G. It's exactly the same thing.
It is 5G.
Okay, so, because I already knew that in secret information, highly classified, that they were seeing really weird cancers in radar operators and radar technicians particularly. But this was the military. They kept that all silent. Another thing that they kept silent, Mark, when Vietnam happened and they came out with the first night goggles, okay, What happened was it was burning the retinas. It was causing damage in the eyes. And I was a safety officer of the company, and I went to the, I was called to this meeting, a highly secret meeting, and they're telling us this. And I said, well, how do we tell the troops this? How do we tell the people that have been exposed to this that they're gonna have blindness in a few years? And they said, oh, no, you can't tell anybody. This is secret. Can you imagine?
Well, what I really can't imagine, the same technology was used in the Google Glass. What I cannot understand is how this killer technology, I mean, if I was to build, I've been involved in a number of weapon sight systems. We use the 560 nanometers, and the reason why we use that, not that it's 100% safe, it's just far less biologically active than either full spectrum or the blue spectrum light. So obviously you use the green spectrum. That's why weapon sight systems are mainly green, because they're less damaging to the retina. Full spectrum light's pretty damaging. I mean, we did some research where where retinal cells in vitro, where they were tested against these blue LED emitters, we had less than 20% survivability. So you can imagine, and I think full spectrum was something like 40% survivability, where green spectrum, the 560 nanometers, was near fine. You know, slight bit of damage. But you get damage in the retina with any optical radiation, because obviously optical radiation is a well-known classified carcinogen and a hazard. So it's the evidence was definitely there, but it's interesting what you're saying. So how do we get to the point where we've got gaming headsets that large technology companies are rolling out en masse across the whole population, offering for children to test in schools, using pulse modulated full spectrum microwave, terahertz range pulse modulated light, which is, I mean, makes microwaves look like something that's not that dangerous, believe it or not, especially when you focus them through a magnifying glass onto a child's retina. It's pretty bizarre. It's probably the reason why they brought 5G out to kill everybody before their children die of eye cancer. Anyway, that's another story. So we've got children being harmed. We've got children getting brain cancer. We've got children dying. All on the back of someone's idea that they think it's a good idea to spy on us.
Mark, let me ask you about the brain cancer in the child, which was a rare form of cancer previously associated with radar operators, right?
Well, that was a hard concept.
How can we share this on a solid basis with like epidemiological evidence of proximity to either one of the LED street lamps or a small cell tower in Gateshead? How can we establish, an evidentiary connection that can't be dismissed as like, oh yeah, those people on, they're 5G activists making wacky connections and theories. Because obviously this, the link to a very rare form of cancer associated with radar operators, that's big, in a community in which 5G has just been rolled out. That, can we, because I'd love to go, more public with this, and we always need to be careful. Often, we are lured out to be exposed, with going out there with slightly inaccurate information. They nail you. They destroy your credibility. They say, oh, look at what these wild claims they're making, and there's no basis because of this and that. I'd love to be able to, if this is, obviously this sounds quite real and substantial, and I'd love to be able to just go out there with it with high confidence, with some evidence that would hold up in court or hold up with epidemiological studies. Yeah. What do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, before we do that, let's just get a time frame. I asked you earlier before we got on the show, when did they put the lights in Gateshead?
The first knowledge I had of them, they started the rollout sometime in 2013, 2012, 2013. But what they did, they fitted the street light, and it was to the main highways. Now, obviously, the main highways are a lot higher up. So the directional antennas would scan over the top of most homes. Yeah, you'd have to be at a pretty long distance away, you know, maybe 15 or 20 mile away for that ray to come to basically hit a home, obviously with a slight curvature. So the first rollout was the main highways. They were very, very high up, the lamps, you know, well above the height of a home. And then when I believe that was either 2:13, 2:14, they started putting the lights in the streets. Well, there was a lot lower down. In fact, the directional that directly opposite people's bedroom windows. It wasn't until 2016, September 2016, when they rocked up outside of my home. And obviously, I already knew that the LED streetlights weren't exactly safe, but I've got blackout blinds. Nobody's been warned about that either. And they rocked up with these LED streetlights that looked a bit unsafe. And then I had neighbours knocking on doors telling us about nosebleeds. So that's basically the time frame. So 2016 was, you know, my factual evidence when I knew that they'd roll this stuff out. It took me till it was about mid 2017 when I had one of these transmitters thrown at me by one of their lighting guys. What actually happened, I was coming down the street and I said to the chap, "What are you doing up there?" Because obviously been a lot of them being destroyed where I lived. I don't know why. Anyway, come back this night in the afternoon and there was a lighting guy and he was fixing the light and I explained to him, I said, "Look, that will kill a baby. They are murdering babies. That transmitter is illegal." Anyway, he said something along the lines of, "I've been fitting them for 10 years. You don't know what you're talking about." Well, I then knew he was a liar because he hadn't been fitting them for 10 years. That wasn't true. And obviously, I'm not really keen on people that tell lies. So I had a bit shout at him. Anyway, he ended up throwing this thing at me. And that's when I really had a good look at it and realised, I mean, I already had the technical data from the manufacturer, so I had a rough idea, but in the technical manufacturer, they didn't talk about the antenna design, the high gain antenna design. In fact, the whole technical sort of document that come with a product was false. It was a falsification of what was actually in the light system. Because obviously what was actually in the light system was a target acquiring weapon system. And I then took that, couldn't believe my eyes. I really just couldn't believe what I was looking at.
Okay, now let's just make sure that everybody understands what you were looking at. You had already gotten the manufacturer's specs for this device, and then this guy, sent by God, threw you the device. And you get the device and you compare it to the spec sheet and you realize that this spec sheet is a bunch of crap and that this is actually a weapon system. It has nothing to do with telecommunications, correct?
Absolutely. They had actually applied for Part 15 FCC approval for the antenna. And obviously this one was a high gain. Well, that would normally apply to a dipole antenna. And it most certainly wouldn't apply to a 25 milliwatt transmitter. And obviously we were measuring radiation in people's bedrooms. You know, Part 15 FCC, I think it's about 50 meters. It can be no more than 5 milliwatt. We were actually measuring in people's bedrooms 800, 4,000 millivolts. And a Part 15 FCC at 30 meters should be no more than 5, otherwise it fails. But that was just confirmation of the antenna design and how this antenna can focus a signal, and obviously that's what it was doing. It was sweeping the area with a scanner. It was scanning the area with this sub, and the reason for the sub gigahertz, and that's why people have to understand. Do not do your own research. Do not believe the mainstream narrative. The higher frequencies, the 30 gigahertz, 60 gigahertz, 60 gigahertz, I'm telling you now, doesn't travel in air. I can gas you with it. I can make a gas chamber with it and gas you with it, but it's not going to travel in air. So that's the equipment they're rolling out in America. They're currently putting out these reactors to gas people. at 60 gigahertz because it doesn't serve any other purpose. You can't get a telecommunication signal off of 60 gigahertz. I mean, how do you do that? It's just, I mean, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy what we're talking about.
Let me ask you something. Yeah, Mark, excuse me for interrupting. You brought up a point earlier that I'd like to go into a little bit. You were talking about how the mainstream narrative in the media is that there needs to be, you know, a small cell tower every couple of blocks because millimeter microwave doesn't, you know, it's a short wave. It's not like you can do it from one hilltop to another 10 miles away. But you were saying that possibly in concert with the low-level satellite network being rolled out, 20,000 low-level satellites across the planet. Or I wasn't quite sure, but it seemed as if you were saying that for 5G to go online with the potentially deadly effect, surveillance effect, that, you know, brain effect that we're talking about, it doesn't necessarily need to be that close. That, you know, we've got all of us looking for small cell towers going up every couple of blocks. You know, this has been very much part of the narrative that I've been sharing with people because I thought that was a basic aspect of the technology.
Exactly. Yeah.
And are you saying now that it potentially is not and that they could do it?
Definitely not. Yeah, it's definitely not. The sub-gigahertz range, these small micro cells are operating a sub-gigahertz range. And the reason why they're doing that is because it's urban air. It's urban environment radar, sub-gigahertz. Long-range radar operates mainly in the sub-gigahertz range. I mean, the weapon systems, the sweet spot for weapon systems is about 10 megahertz up to about 10 gigahertz. That's your real sweet spot. You get over there, you get a bit too high, then it's not going to be much good to you. But the real sweet spot, you see, for your target acquiring, if I want to look into the urban environment, it's got to be, it doesn't have to be sub-gigahertz. But once you get beyond the sub-gigahertz range, you start to get attenuation in there. You start to get it blocked by concrete and brickwork. Well, if I want to look into your home, if I want to see what's under your bed, if I want to see you having relationships in your home and spy on you, I need sub-gigahertz signal. And these micro cells are operating on the sub-gig, and they're turning around saying they need lots of them. They need only a couple of houses because they don't travel well in there. Well, I'm going to tell you, they travel pretty well in there. It's long-range radar. I mean, these signals have traveled 3,000 miles out. These travel within the urban environment, the built-up urban environment, 15 to 20 to 30 mile. And the built-up, I'm talking about going through lots of reinforced concrete here, by the way, in a cityscape. So let's say if I've got a 20 or 30,000 of these, I can blanket coverage, 3D map, a whole cityscape with a class 1 cancer-causing radiation. But that's just so I can spy on you. That's not what this is for.
Okay, Mark, just let me stop here for a second because I want to get people a visual picture of what you're talking about. Most people now are familiar with the LIDAR concept that you've got a laser in a plane flying over dense jungle that can see through the jungle to see what's on the ground.
Yeah.
All right, that's the same kind of technology, only it's being directed so that it can see through concrete, not just trees and foliage, but concrete and wood and everything else that might protect you from being – they can watch you walking around your house.
Absolutely. Do you want a picture? I've got a picture.
Yes, I know. And I realized that it's easier to explain what they might have seen. And it's the LIDAR they've seen, you know?
Yeah. I've got the images. But this shows you the deception, the deceit, the dishonesty of these organizations. Because you see, that's the mainstream narrative, Vives. We need lots of them because they don't travel very well. It is absolute garbage. They travel with these in the urban environment, these sub-gigahertz signals. So you've got to ask yourself the question, why do they want one every couple of houses? The reason why is because it's an EMP. If you take the equipment to bits and have a look at the capacity of it, you'll see it's got this massive potential for in the electromagnetic pulse. Now, obviously, if I then fill your home with all of the other equipment, your smart meter, you know, the one I can turn up at ease, your smart fridge, I can come in the middle of the night and turn that up, and I can also come in and I can turn your Wi-Fi up. And not only that, I can change the pulse modulation. So I can change the pulse modulation and the frequencies that you were talking about before, where I can start to disassociate the molecular bonds, and then you fire the rubber bird and boom, you no need to bury anybody. I mean, what a fantastic weapon. This is the greatest weapon of all time, right? I'll tell you why. You're paying for it. So you pay for your own death, and they don't even have to come and dig a hole to bury you.
Let me ask you something. Excuse me, Mark. Let me ask you something. When you're talking sub-gigahertz range, what exactly does that mean in terms of numbers? Like 2.5 gigahertz is what?
Well, anything under a gig, anything in under a gigahertz, right, is sub-gigahertz. And if you look at the industry standard, what actually happened at first, Michael, I was telling people that 5G was sub-gig. And everybody said, doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a lunatic, conspiracy theorist, just making it up. We now know that the industry have admitted that 5G is sub-gigahertz. 700 megahertz to 900 megahertz is their sweet spot. So that's the industry. That's what they're saying. I think the US, it's about 700. It's 800 in the UK. And I think they've got the... they've got the 900 spectrum in Europe. Quite interesting. That could be another very interesting aspect, the fact that they've actually changed the part of the spectrum in different parts of the world.
Oh, well, let me share with you a piece of news that came out yesterday, and this is regarding the FCC. I shared this with you, Nancy. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it yet. This is from an industry magazine called Engadget. So this isn't an activist piece of news. This isn't somebody trying to alert everybody to how dangerous 5G is. This is a telecommunications industry publication that's keeping us all up to date on the wonderful rollout of the 5G system. Headline on this article is FCC chairman wants to open mid-band airwaves for 5G. They'll vote on this in July. Let me just read a little bit of this to you. This may be relevant, it may not, but it sounds like it probably could be. Here's the article. U.S. carriers have mostly rolled out 5G on high frequencies, with upcoming auctions aiming even higher. Unfortunately, these choices create problems. The implementations typically don't work well indoors, and they risk interfering with weather forecasts and other tasks that might depend on high band. So the FCC might provide some much-needed breathing room in lower spectrum slices. However, the FCC chairman, Ajit Pai, has circulated an order that, if approved, would open 2.5 gigahertz airwaves for 5G. This spectrum was set aside in the 1960s with services like educational TV in mind, but a large part of it has gone unused for decades, according to the FCC chairman. This would make use of mid-band wireless and would theoretically allow both incumbents and relative newcomers to claim frequencies they didn't have before. So they're looking to finalize the details of a December auction of 37 gigahertz, 39 gigahertz, and 47 gigahertz bands as part of their broader 5G fast plan that would aim to speed up deployment of the wireless data. Is this relevant, Mark?
Well, it's definitely relevant, but I mean, you've got to remember these are masters of deception. I mean, you only have to look at Telestra, Telenza, go and have a look at their websites and what it tells you. The bit of equipment that fit on the top of the street light and is designed to look like a light sensor. Now ask yourself this question. If 5G is safe, why do the manufacturers want to make the bits to look like something else? Why do the manufacturers want to go to all the trouble to design equipment that looks like something that it isn't? It's a bit like the connectors, you know, electronic connectors. They're like a lobe thing. There's a company in South America. They make 5G antennas to sit inside them to make them look like they're just a normal telecoms potted connector, and you can hang them on the side of telegraph poles and nobody be none the wiser. So why are companies across the world, telecoms companies, going to all the trouble of designing that equipment to look like something? Are they to be proud of 5G, or they're not proud of it? Or does it is, does it actually mean there's something a lot more sinister in relation to the rollout? Well, what I'm going to tell people, 5G is a weapon in all of its technical parameters. I'll explain them to people today. 5G is a widening out of spectrum. In the lower part of the spectrum, as well as the higher part of the spectrum, both are just as dangerous. The higher frequencies don't penetrate walls as well. The sub-gigs do. So if I've got a cross, if I've actually got a 30 gigahertz emitter, right, and I've also got a sub-gigahertz frequency emitter, I can penetrate your home with ease because I've already penetrated the wall with a sub-gig. Do you know what I mean? I've already resonated the frequency in your concrete wall with a sub-gigahertz frequency, so I can break through. Now,
Okay. I got to stop you here. So you're saying that the sub-gigahertz, meaning that it's, if you see 1 gigahertz, that's gigahertz above. Sub is anything below 1 gigahertz. When you put a 1 gigahertz on a concrete wall, that wall begins to disintegrate because it's losing its molecular cohesion, correct?
Yes, correct.
So this is absolutely, without any equivocation, a definition of a direct energy weapon. This is exactly what brought down the Twin Towers on 9/11.
Of course it is.
My God, I didn't know what frequency, Mark. I'm going, how the hell did they do that? I knew what they had done, but it was like, what frequency? It's the sub-gigahertz frequencies, ladies and gentlemen. The smaller you get, the more you're resonating with the molecular of concrete. Never mind what it's doing to your body. But and that's why you're saying that the integrity of the nuclear power plants is failing because of the sub-gigahertz destroying the concrete walls and foundation that are protecting the reactors.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Mark. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, can I just jump in here as long as we're paused in your narrative here, Mark? Here in Southern Colorado, we've been talking to people who are working against 5G, and because we are in a remote mountain area, and because there are not, you know, street lamps everywhere, there's like 2 or 3 street lamps in the main small town. And then in the development out here, there are none. This is a, you know, beautiful mountain area. People want to be able to see the stars. In fact, there's an initiative to have this declared like a black sky preserve where people can come to see, you know, the stars the way human beings saw them hundreds of years ago. And so we're telling people, okay, we're mobilizing to fight 5G, but until you see small cell towers going up every few hundred yards, we're safe. And we were just at a friend's house yesterday where she said, well, look, they recently put this little device on my roof, and now they're telling me it's 4G, but it's 5G capable. But don't worry, you're going to have to call us and ask for 5G to activate it. Well, they are way out in the flats here. They are away from any tower, any street lamp, any other device. And so my first inclination to say was, well, you know, they're rolling this out in the big cities. It's probably not worth their while to roll it out in urban areas. They're making everything 5G capable. So yeah, it's built into this thing they put on your house, but don't worry, you're not being bombarded with 5G. Was I wrong?
Yeah. Let us explain what 5G is first, Michael, right? Because for everybody out there, 5G's first technical parameter means more. Doesn't matter what it is. A lot more of it is 5G. And the reason that's why it's a weapon, because obviously we already know that the small amount that we've had with a 4G rollout has killed quite a lot of people, a lot of people sick. So 5G is billions more antennas, billions more close proximity antennas. Doesn't matter what they operate. I had an argument with a guy down in London. They're doing this telecare. All the equipment, all the hardware is 2G, 3G. They're 2G, 3G boards. The whole equipment platform is all in that spectrum. Yeah, it's all older equipment. Hasn't got the high gain dielectric lens antennas, which is specific to 5G, by the way. Anyway, the guy's telling me it's not 5G. I said, listen, it's 5G. They're putting it on the people's chimney breasts and putting it in their roofs for a telecare. It's all part of the 5G weapon, because the 5G is all about filling the environment with as much microwave radiation as possible. Because like I said, 5G's got nothing to do with telecommunications. 5G is a weapon. So the more I put into an environment, no matter what it is, that's why, and this isn't me saying this, you know, I mean, Ofcom and the European Union have identified 5G as 1G, 2G, 3G, and 4G, as long as it hits the main technical parameter, which is densification, weapon. The more you get, the more you die, all right? But this is where it's really interesting, because if you look at the overcapacity of the equipment that they're fitting to the street lighting and the smart meter grid, and the smart grid, the capacity of the equipment to be used as a weapon, it's all there. One of the things that's pretty interesting, I think what happened in Paradise, obviously, whether it was a test or it was accidental, the equipment, there was a burnout at the power stations at the transformers. It was the same when they tested it in South Korea. They had a burnout at the transformers. They had a burnout in the electrical equipment, because this stuff will burn out your normal infrastructure. And this is the reason for electric cars. Because you know electric cars don't make any economic sense. Don't make any sense at all in any way, shape or form. In fact, pretty toxic to the environment, very toxic to humans who drive them if you drive them for any more than 30 minutes. In fact, I wouldn't let your driver one at all, because the magnetic flux in the cabin is pretty high. And if you're travelling at speed and also you're changing the speed, so you've got that oscillation of speed, that's not very good for the body at all. So bad head, sore eyes, and that'll kill you. That'll make sure you buy yourself an electric car. That'll make sure you don't get a pension.
Mark, we've right? Mark, you're on cars now. We need to get back to Paradise and what you were talking about the substation. No,
well, and before we do that, excuse me for interrupting.
It's great time.
We're at the hour break, so I'd love to pick that back up, because just focusing on how people know if 5G is rolling out in their neighborhoods, and if they can roll it out and are rolling it out without a visible small cell tower that you can say, hey, that's 5G every couple of blocks. We need to get really specific about how people can know. Anyway, so this is at our hour break. And Nancy, are we ready for that?
Sure, 4 minutes.
Well, Nancy, what I'll do.
Just a small town girl living in a he took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere. A singer in a smoky room, a smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night, it goes on and on.
Living just to find emotion.
Welcome back, everyone, to Radio 5G. This is Michael Henry Dunn with my co-host, Nancy Hopkins. Radio 5G, a joint project of Cosmic Reality Radio and the Sacred Academy of Geoenergetics. And we're here with our good friend, Mark Steele, who is updating us on a lot of developments in the UK, and more specifically right now, how you can know if 5G is being rolled out where you live, whether or not it's about a tower on every other block, how it might be interacting with the 20,000 low orbit satellites that are even now being launched. So, Mark, could you pick up from where you were on that, please?
Yeah, well, obviously the 5G is a large technological spread. All right? It's not one thing. It's the technical parameters of 5G are pretty well known. In the from my perspective, and because I look at it from a from a weapons perspective, sort of, you know, I look at everything from a weapons perspective point of view, because obviously that's the business that I've been in for so many years. So I look at things from, you know, and see, you know, how they can be used, what their potential is. I mean, like I said, the antenna designs, the reactors. You know, I invented a reactor. It was obviously for something completely different. I wasn't inventing a molecular reactor to gas everybody. But strangely enough, the same equipment's hanging on streetlights. That's part of 5G. You've got phased array. You've got high gain lenses. You've got dielectric lenses, all part of 5G. All look significantly different to the untrained eye. But the 5G, the main characteristic is densification. It just means more, lots more. When you listen to Wheel at the FCC, if there's a pill bottle they can actually put a transmitter on, they're going to put a transmitter on. What they're going to do, they're going to put RFID tags in your packaging. So this is basically just a mirror. The further you are away from a transmitter, this is where it becomes pretty dangerous. It has to send a signal to that mirror in the packaging. So if you've got cupboards in your home, you've got a lot of packaging in your home, and obviously if you've got a fridge, I've got to look through the fridge to be able to see the RFID tags, because I'm not going to just, you know, want to come into your home and have a look at things I can roughly see. I want to see everything. I want to see you in bed. I want to see you under the covers. I want to see where your sovereigns are. I want to see, because, you know, you give these psychopaths, these monsters, the opportunity to do this. They're going to take every opportunity they can, because it's a bit like a game. I want to see where your sovereigns are, your cougarans, whatever, you know, your gold dollars. Whatever you have, I want to be able to see it, because I'm a spy. So I'm spying on you. So the equipment comes in all guises, lots of different guises. And like I said, the 5G technical parameter is densification. It means more. And the reason why they want more, so when they fire the EMP, it takes everything out, because the more energy I put into an environment, the more I prime the environment. See, where the paradise, attack, now it may have been an accident, it may not have been an accident, but whatever it was an EMP, and you can tell that by the disappearance of the people. Obviously, there's reports of lots and lots of people where they just disappeared. And the buildings, the state of the buildings, how the buildings were basically burned to the ground very, very quickly. Ferocious fires. That's always a thing to look out for, because obviously if you get an ignition and the fire's ferocious, Grenfell Tower was a very good ferocious fire. And obviously there was lots of question marks about the lack of bodies, which tells you that it was potentially an EMP, could have been a test. Quite interestingly enough, Grenfell Tower just had a new type of smart meter fitted. The previous smart meter didn't work very well and had been setting fire to all of the appliances in the place. That was something that kept out of the mainstream media. In fact, it was so bad, the council had actually had to pay the residents an ex gratia payment. I think they got £170 or £270 each, because their equipment in their homes was bursting into flames. Pretty interesting bit of information, and something that was totally kept out of the media, something that was well documented and still, for some inexplicable reason, never got aired again when the fire actually took hold. Then obviously we've seen the catastrophe that happened. There's recently, just a couple of weeks ago, we've had another fire in London. And when I looked at the pictures are really telling, because you can see the buildings gassing off. So the flames are actually on the outside of the building, and the building's not on fire. The building itself isn't on fire, but the building's gassing off. So obviously get the right oxygen mix with whatever hydrocarbon gas has been broken down and coming off the building. And then you see this wall of fire, this absolute wall of fire, but you can see the fabric of the building. So it's not where, you know, if you watch a normal fire, you see the fire bursting up through the, you know, through the windows and going up the wall. And basically it's at the top of the ceiling, and it comes up through the window and then goes up the wall. And that's why we're seeing these fires that firemen have never seen before. They're inexplicable.
Let me ask you, Mark. When we are talking about densification, and we keep coming back to this point, hey, this is how you know it's happening. 5G is essentially about densification. Now, last week in Taos, New Mexico, we covered this in our last show. There was a meeting of the county commissioners of Taos County, and there were 300 concerned citizens carrying signs and testifying in concern about 5G. Almost 1,000 signatures were found on, you know, were signed for a moratorium to halt the 5G rollout in Taos until safety issues could be examined. And we had a gentleman testify there who's an international consultant in wired and wireless technology. And he said, what you need to understand is that exactly the point you're making, they're not rolling out 5G and turning off 3G and 4G. It's a layer cake of more toxic Wi-Fi. It is a densification. It is cumulative. And oh, by the way, 5G is not going to improve your cell phone reception. You get a lot of people going, oh, yeah, bring it on. You know, I can barely, you know, hear, you know, in my area, and the reception's so bad on my cell phone. It's data carrying. It's not about getting better, you know, cell phone voice reception, right? But this issue of densification being the key factor whereby we can know, you know, that 5G is being rolled out. My concern here is for our listeners that, you know, there's a certain amount of alarm is going to start to kick in. It's certainly kicking in with me as I'm listening to this, because up here in the mountains, I was thinking, okay, well, you know, we're safe until they start putting, you know, small cell towers up every couple of blocks here in our mountain village. Well, this is not the case, apparently, from what you're saying. So, and if they are installing, it's like, hey, we're going to upgrade your Wi-Fi. And you go, oh, do I get 5G? And they tell you, well, yeah, it's 5G capable. And if you ask for it, boom, you've got it. Well, this is in an area where there's not a small cell tower for miles. If there's one big tower they want to put on the fire station here in town in Crestone, and there's going to be a meeting about, you know, whether or not they're going to be allowed to do that, I need to be able to tell people. We need to be able, you know, it's a crucial thing for us at Radio 5G and for all the groups we're in touch with. You know, we're talking about LED street lamps. And then we're talking about more remote areas. Is the rollout of the satellite network going to effectively blanket all of us in 5G with or without small cell towers every few hundred yards? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Well, the issue that you have, the satellites in air are basically a mirror system. You know, you do get some satellites that have got quite a bit of energy, but nowhere near powered up enough to be able to be dangerous to people on the ground. What you do, you use them you've got a ground-based weapon. If you're going to use them as a weapon, you get a ground-based weapon. It's basically just a mirror in the sky. And you can then, it's how they develop them for tracking in ICBMs. I mean, that's the whole point of satellites. So you can actually take a weapon system over somebody else's territory and drop it on them. Because obviously they're not going to let you put a ground radar to track anything in. So you've got to put it in the air. So that was the whole point of satellites. And these satellites, I mean, obviously, in the sub-gigahertz range, you've got quite a bit of distance there. So the weapon can be pretty potent in that, because it doesn't attenuate in air very well. And so you've got quite a heavy punch. So these ground arrays, these massive ground arrays, have the potential to be used as over-the-horizon weapon systems, where they're reflected off these satellites in the sky, take anybody out anywhere in the world, take a building out, take a military base out, you know, take something out. I mean, yeah, so nobody's safe. I mean, everybody's got to understand 5G is an existential threat to everything.
Okay, well, okay. Let me just stop you here for a second again. I'm so sorry, but details, I need the details. All right, so what we're saying here now is that, considering it a weapon system, that the satellites are not active agents. They are simply reflectors, correct?
Well, I haven't seen them. I'd have to see the design to see what the potential of them is. But okay. Most satellites that are actually in the sky are basically a reflector from a ground-based system.
Well, that, you know, I mean, I know enough to say to myself, the satellite system isn't fitting the mold. It's not complying with what I think should be happening with a satellite system, because they're so small. And, you know, if you're just using it as a relay point, all it is a relay point. And what you're saying is that it is not, as well as being something that can control your local population, you can actually use the satellite systems, because there's 20,000 of them. See, when you want to target something, you need multiple points of reference to get an exact targeting done. So you need a lot of these satellites. This is what's making sense to me now. It's a targeting system. So you have the ground station that is now, and yes, sometimes people, there was a court case, and Sprint and somebody else, Sprint and Verizon, sued AT&T because they were talking about their new 5G system, and in fact it was 4G improved. Okay, yes. And so you've got that kind of malarkey confusion happening. But this concept turns it around. Instead of being afraid, Michael, that the satellites, once they become active, that they're 5G potential, because I'm going like, there's no way the millimeter is going to travel from space and with any, I mean, it was just like inconceivable to me.
It just won't travel. It won't travel. You've got to have sub-gigahertz to travel long distance, and that's why I knew. See, when I first came across the 5G in Gateshead, as soon as I read, because when I first found out it was sub gigahertz, I was like scratching my head thinking, well, hang on a minute, what is it? What are the ones cheeky? And I thought the cheeky swines, they're using it to scan, like an urban scanner, like a radar urban scanner. And it wasn't until I got my hands on one that I realized what it really was, which was even more outrageous, the fact that your government thinks it can roll a weapon system out on top of you, and they haven't had the decency to declare war on you. So it's a secret war that they haven't told you. They've took you along to a fight, and they haven't even told you. That's a bit cheeky. I mean, that's a bit of a coward's way to go on. It's not British at all. I mean, at least we used to go and wave our flags and dress up for a fight. I mean, these lot have come through the back door, and that shows you the type of devilish Luciferian characters we're dealing with. These are devious. But it also shows you they can't face the fight. They've got to do it backhand. They've got to do it behind the scenes. It's all secret. It's all, let's all just kill these lot off. Let's get them sick. Let's make them ill. I'll tell you now, they must be absolutely past themselves, because we know. And we are 4 years too early. The bit I wanted to talk about, the cars are part of the weapon system. And the reason for that, they need localised power packs. Because obviously when you're firing an EMP, you've got a good chance of taking out the power grid. If you take down the power grid, then obviously you need something to carry on. Because what they want to do, it's no good killing 500,000 people and leaving 500,000 left. I mean, people would go absolutely bonkers, especially in America, because you guys are all, you know, tooled up to the teeth. That wouldn't be very good at all. So if you're going to pull an EMP, you need to kill everybody. Don't leave anybody alive. All right? Doesn't matter. It's probably one of the reasons why Trump's been upset with the Chinese and his 5G, because he's realised exactly what it is. He's been watching some of my videos, I'm sure. Anyway, the reality of it is they've got to kill everything, because you cannot leave. You know, I spoke to a guy the other day about this Agenda 21, and it's all about there's going to be 500 million left. It's all about this depopulation. What an absolute load of crock. Can you imagine? You're the controller. I'm the person who's just wiped out the vast majority of the world's biology and human life. All right? I'm going to leave 500 million people left. What if they turn on us? What if they decide that?
Well, you know, the thing about this is, Mark, and, you know, when we are looking at the narrative that we're sharing with people, that most of us are going to have a pretty hard time finding a motive to kill everything and everyone. And I know from your perspective, it comes back to, hey, you know, this is satanic, this is Luciferian, this is anti-life, this is anti-God. Well, there are also factions that, you know, that, of course, as we've seen in history, want to control the population, not wipe it out, want, you know, to dominate the economy, not wipe it out, want to, you know, they see a freedom movement growing. They see the light growing in all these places where it's getting beyond their control. They're getting scared. They're getting desperate, which is why they're rolling out 5G prematurely and way too fast. You know, when it comes down to the Georgia Guidestones with the $500 million target, $500 million population target of, you know, the ideal population. Well, you know, that's after martial law. That's after elimination of freedom fighter leadership. That's after, you know, a basic clampdown. Most of those 500 million people are dumbed down slaves. Go ahead.
Can I just interject there just for a second? What if it's a prophecy? What if it is the prophecy? What if the 500 million that are left are the 500 million that we save? What if the 500 million that are left are the cleverer, the more intelligent of mankind, the ones that have survived this? What if that's what the guide stones? What if it's a prophecy? What if it's not an actual number that they've decided on, but it's because we win this war. We survive. We, 500 million of us, survive.
Well, I mean, I'd love to have victory look like something else than the death of 6.5 billion people, you know, I mean, personally. And I'd love to be able to shift our focus a little bit because it's, you know, we've got about half an hour left. Because all of this is pretty tough to take, is pretty grim. And there, we need to also remind people that there is a global movement to stop 5G, that the rate, the acceleration of the wake up of the appearance of a new stop 5G group every day, of what we saw in Taos with 1,000 people demanding a moratorium and 300 people jamming the county commissioner's room. They had to call in the fire marshal to make sure that they were opening way for people to leave in an emergency. There is this huge movement. I mean, there is great hope. I had a meeting with a public official here in Southern Colorado just a couple of days ago. She was on her way to an annual conference of municipal officials of the state of Colorado. Hundreds of officials from counties and state and towns and villages across Colorado. And she was going to be alerting them to 5G and bringing with her the specific regulations proposed in Larimer County, Colorado, which is a major county. You know, it contains Fort Collins. It's a major county. Without having to sue the FCC, and plenty of cities and towns are suing the FCC over 10th Amendment violations, that here, you know, a whole raft of carefully crafted regulations were proposed in Larimer County that would limit, inhibit, delay the rollout in order to address safety and aesthetic concerns. So I'm just trying to let people know, so my public official friend with whom I met just a few days ago is taking that, even now as we speak, at this gathering of hundreds of municipal officials from across Colorado, alerting them to 5G and saying, here are tools that we can use, that we can ask our county commissions to implement. Now, not all the county commissioners are going to be as cowardly as the ones in Taos. But all that was asked of them was, look, there's lots of evidence that this is a danger. You are proposing a change to your land use regulations language that will allow a waiver of a permit process to let 5G in the back door. We're just saying, let's wait and delay and look at adding some of these helpful regulations that will allow the people of Taos to protect themselves, as is your sworn duty. It was a very small request we were making. Hundreds of people showed up. They voted no. So there are some pretty cowardly folks out there. We had two brave people on the commission. But I just want to touch back in with the strength of the growing movement, the tools that are out there. I mean, go to 5g-know.com. Go to ehtrust.org, another great organization. Go to saveusnow.org. Is it .com or .org for you?
.org.uk, Mark?
.org.uk, Mark's organization and political movement in the UK about 5G. That, I just need to bring it back here because, you know, there is not only hope. To me, there is the certainty of victory, and I don't think it's about losing, 7 billion people and having 500,000 smart, clever survivors. I think God has a different plan. I don't pretend to know what it is, but I'd love if you can share more with us about, you know, the movement that you see unfolding in the UK. You spoke very encouragingly earlier in the program about, you know, how fast people are waking up, all of the citizens groups that are springing up. Can you share with us stuff about that?
Well, the numbers have grown up at a significant rate. We've got Stop Smart Meter groups popped up in every town, every village. There's other groups popping up in every town and village. In fact, there was a petition of over 4,000 people have signed it now in Bristol. That's only one town. Now, obviously, they're a very active place in the country. You know, there's a lot of very intelligent and knowledgeable people who live in that part of the world. So they've actually put a petition into the local council. We've got the mayor on the run down there. I spoke to the mayor in the big festival area. They've got a moratorium on the 5G rollout, and they're putting together a group of experts to discuss the dangers of 5G in O'Callaghan. They've actually already put in a moratorium. There's another council at Froome. There's another council at Stroud. So there's a number of councils, and also just today there's been a press release in Leeds, which is a large city in the UK, where the council have been pressed about the safety in relation to the health effects, because prior to this, all we've spoken about security, you know, the Chinese, now there's a potential problem. Now what they're starting to talk about is the health problems. And obviously wants to start to understand that this technology is experimental. It has never been tested to be safe. It is a research project in breach of the Nuremberg Code. That's when we'll start to see some real feathers start to fly. So what's happening in the UK is fantastic. But I want to go back to what you said before, Michael. We've got children in schools now, young girls in schools being sterilised by industrial-grade Wi-Fi. Those children will never have babies. Those children will be harmed. That harm will come in the next 10 to 15 years. The gestation from microwave radiation to epidemic to kill could be 15 to 20 years out. We have one of the largest human rights crimes ever being perpetrated on the human race. I believe if there's 500 million of us left by the end of the decade, we'll be lucky. I say that with all confidence in the evidence that I have in relation to the LED streetlights. The blue phosphor-coated LED streetlights are a program called Softkill. In Barcelona, they've already, there's 20 institutions have done a study in relation to the LED streetlights. They've doubled the breast and the prostate cancer. They've only been in for 3 years. I can tell you that that epidemic is 15 to 20 to 25 years out, as it was with smoking. So those people are dying today only after having 3 years of exposure to that optical radiation, which is absolutely lethal. So I believe there'll be hundreds of millions will die across Europe from that LED streetlight. In cityscapes across the US where they're using the same technology, I can expect mass population collapse, the sterilisation of people where they've been exposed to this Wi-Fi in schools, classrooms. We've already got the evidence of the sperm count collapsing, has done over the last few years. So we'll see population collapse. We will see people being sterilised. This equipment was used in the camps to sterilise people. This technology was taken to the USA under Operation Paperclip. The frequencies that are being emitted from your Wi-Fi cause diabetes. Why do you think they picked 2.5 gigahertz? People need to wake up and make sure that they take action in relation to the crime that's been committed against us. And I'll tell you now, the 500 million that are left will have justice.
Mark, when this young man came down, the little child, the four-year-old, when he came down with the cancer, did you go and did you take measurements? Did you look to see how far away that antenna was from his bedroom?
I measured. Obviously, I got in touch with the mother. Went down the house. I measured the radiation. It was a constant 1,200 to 1,400 millivolts. Now, obviously, that's well within IC and IRP guidelines, but it's in breach of the EuroPEM 216 guidelines. It's in breach of the Council of Europe 1815 resolution, the international courts. It's in breach of the building code regulations and an affront to anybody who thinks that that type of radiation would be safe to a child. It is absolutely deplorable, and that poor boy's dead. He is going to be one of a significant number that will die over the next few years, because like I said, exposure to this type of radiation, the potential epidemic is 15 to 20 years out. We survive this, and I believe the numbers will population numbers will collapse across the West as this epidemic starts to take hold. Got to remember, we've only been exposed to this radiation for, you know, in most part, 10 years. Now we've got the ubiquitous smart meter rollout, which they started aggressively over 5 years ago. We've got the 5G rollout. So you've got this massive overburden poured out from criminals, from criminal enterprise to harm deliberately with intent to harm the citizen. They are intending to harm us.
The
350, that's what I keep saying. There are 350 of the world's leading scientists. Devra Davis's group, they got signatories. 180 leading scientists wrote for a moratorium on microwave radiation in air. It was ignored. The 350, the 80,000 signatories to this, to the 5G Stop Space Appeal, ignored. Ignored by criminals. Ignored by criminals in positions of power. Public servants who forgot their role, that they serve us and they are not our masters and they cannot and are not in a position to harm the people.
What's going to happen when we're talking about a 5G rollout with, you know, you describe a 5 to 10 year, 15 year cancer toll becoming much shorter, you know, 2, 3, 5 years, that personally, I don't think it's going to happen that this rollout just is allowed to proceed unimpeded by the people. That it is allowed to just be rolled out on top of us with, you know, with skyrocketing cancer rates, children coming down with cancer when towers are on schools, this rolling, you know, this accelerating awakening movement that just politically speaking, you know, this is the other factor that needs to be taken into account. Politically, in terms of consciousness, in terms of groups working on a spiritual level, and, you know, the 3D on the ground political and legal tools that we can, you know, can be brought to bear on this. And, you know, let's be realistic. At a certain point, civil disobedience. It's just going to happen. We here on Radio 5G are not advocating civil disobedience or anything other than nonviolent means, et cetera, et cetera. And being realistic, civil disobedience about taking down towers that are killing your children, that's just going to happen, folks, as these consequences start to roll out. And, you know, what I want to remind us of is because of the incredible importance of the information you are sharing with us, Mark, and because of your background as a weapons, energy weapons expert, and with Nancy's background in that regard also, you know, we are hearing the solid technical truth and reality of what is being rolled out and the timing of it. With everything else that's going on the planet and the geopolitical factions that are, you know, playing off against each other, you know, Russia and China, and then you've got the cabal, the, you know, the central banking powers, and then, you know, whatever is happening at the federal level or with the white hats, is Trump a good guy or a bad guy? Is there going to be some major move that is going to stop this in its tracks? All of these things are in play. And I don't pretend to know how it's going to play out, but when we look at the forecast of the deaths that you're describing, and we also look at the bigger picture politically, geopolitically, spiritually, and in terms of conscious evolution, the accelerating conscious evolution of a certain percentage of humanity, I got to believe that, you know, there the wake-up is accelerating so fast that there's going to be a tipping point. And the thing that they fear, the freedom that they fear, the reason they're rolling this out too fast and too hastily and too clumsily, that's going to come to pass, that the people will reclaim. We, the people, will reclaim, are reclaiming our power, and these perpetrators will be brought to justice. That's my belief, and I just wanted to share that with people, to just take a step back and look at the bigger perspective politically, geopolitically, and spiritually on planet Earth, and to take into account Gaia, to take into account the living conscious being of our planet and how we can defend Gaia, defend her children, and be in a dialogue with our Mother Earth in this fight. So I know that's mixing a lot of elements all at once. We're talking technical, scientific, epidemiological, and political. But that's the big picture I think we need to remember, that there is not only hope. I believe there is certainty of victory, but only if we keep waking up everybody we meet, sharing all of this as we are on Radio 5G, as a lot of other groups are, that you know, there is this bigger picture that we need to keep in mind, because otherwise, but there's a lot, I just got to believe, Mark, there's very few people out there who can listen to a projection of 7 billion human beings being killed and a projection of 500 million smart, clever, tough, genetically adapted survivors. Most people aren't going to be able to even take that in. That's going to be so overwhelming and mind-numbing and soul-killing to contemplate that. Most people are just going to shut off. We have to give them more hope, but we got to give them not hopium, right, like the cabal does, but real, reasonable, inspired spiritual hope. That's the end of my speech. Nancy, I hear you got something to say?
Well, I do, because I haven't shared with this audience the I had the baseball cap. I got the baseball cap, okay? And we're still tweaking it, but I get the one, and I'm proud of it enough to take it and put it on my head. Well, to make a long story short, yes, when I went out into the grocery store, I noticed people were looking at the hat, but I couldn't, it was too far away to hand them a business card that tells you why I'm wearing that hat, which is, you know, beware of 5G. But I go to the pet store, and what happens is that somebody says, this guy was buying crickets to take home to let go into the wild. And I said, that's an amazing thing you're doing. And he said, yes, I'm very concerned about, you know, what's happening. The biosphere is crashing. And I just pointed to the hat. And he went, he gets to beware 5G. And he went, oh, my gosh, 5G. Well, he begins to talk. I'm trying to get the card out, because the idea of having the card with a baseball cap is you don't have to get into these conversations. All you have to do is give them the card. If they're interested, they'll read it. Otherwise, if you're all the explanation in the world probably wouldn't have done anything, you know, so you're wasting your time. It's a way of identifying ourselves to other people as being aware of the problem with 5G. And he gets to talking to the pet store owner. And so they're having this conversation, and I'm trying to find the card, and I'm going, yeah, well, and it's also this, and pretty soon they got angry. And I got angry. Because it's so ridiculous. What is all this about, you know? And then they went into a point of overload, and basically they turned around and stopped the conversation while I was in mid-sentence. And after the fact, I went, oh, geez, I didn't do that right, because of exactly what you're saying here, Michael, that, yes, it's a terrible situation, but it's also it's an opportunity to come together as a human family. And that's what we have to focus on, is the concept of building up the human connection. Now, we're seeing it happen, Mark, in Europe, in Great Britain. What I'm seeing happen here is that these local groups are getting together because they start talking to one another. Now, are you seeing the same thing, that it's totally grassroots, that you guys with your organization aren't out there in the streets telling this people to beware, and that it's actually that they're becoming knowledgeable enough to organize themselves? Is that what's happening, or is there some kind of a, you know, big organizer there that's trying to get people going?
I think there's a lot of disparate groups about, but one of the things with the internet, we've got to be really mindful of this. Your Facebook and your emails and your communications are being disruptive. There's a lady not far from me whose child got brain cancer. She's been trying to contact me for a year. She knows people that know me. She's been giving me phone number. She's been giving me phone number. She sent me messages on Facebook. I've never responded to any of them. I haven't got any. I have not phone calls. She's left messages for me. She's told somebody in gated area, and we've had this confirmed, that I've never replied to her. I'd reply immediately. there's obviously anything like that. It is so important to engage people who've been hurt and harmed by this technology, and I've never replied. And the only reason I haven't replied, I didn't receive any communications. I have my emails blocked. I've got my telephone problems. I've got problems on Facebook, all being filtered. You could have a group of 1,000 people who live 5 miles away getting organised to do an event. You won't see it, because that's because we rely on social media thinking it's this panacea for connectivity, when it is the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. And the reason why it's here is specifically because of 5G. They knew we were going to work this out. They knew we were going to come together. And they have to put everything in place to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Well, so, it's still not enough, though. I mean, we're having this conversation.
Michael, it's not working. They're losing. Look, they were going to lose. Look, they always lose. You know, we're talking about the devil here. We're talking about evil people. Good always overcomes evil. So therefore, and that's what I say to people, I'm really positive about this. I know it sounds horrendous, some of the things I talk about, but unfortunately, I've been tasked with telling the truth. And the truth can sometimes be very, very abrasive and very, very... well, not very nice and not palatable. However, what would happen if I know what I know, technically, from a scientific perspective, from a weapons perspective, if I kept that information from the public and people found out in a year's time or 2 years' time that I knew all this and I had kept it from them, what would they think of me? So I've got to tell people the truth. It may be really unpalatable, but this tells people, get off your keyboards, get active and do things. I was talking to a guy the other day, he's a very busy chap, obviously saving up for his pension. He's got a few bob. And I said to him, you know, I've actually parked off a business, a very, very valuable business. I parked it off to one side. I mean, a guy said to me, what are you doing at the minute, Mark? I said, well, I'm trying to stop 5G. He says, well, are you? I says, I'm not bothered. I says, it doesn't. There's no point having anything. There's no point having a house, a pension, a dog, a pet, a kids. My grandchildren will die. I'm stopping this. I've got every part of my body, every week and minute, I'm spending on spreading the word, getting people active, right? And we are the resistance. We are building an army to fight this. This is not going to be easy. The people who are behind it are going to try and do everything they can to carry on with their plan. We have to overcome that, and that's going to take every fiber in my body.
Yeah, it's a moral issue like really no other one. You know, when you're talking about your knowledge and how can you possibly, knowing what you know, keep your knowledge to yourself. In fact, you know, there's a legal principle when it comes to treason. There's treason, you know, plotting against your own government, against your own country, or cooperating with another. And then there's what's called misprision of treason, which is that you weren't part of the plot, but you knew about it, and you didn't do anything. And this is treason against humanity. And so because we know, this is just a simple moral duty. We who know will share it. And, yeah, they're trying to you know, they put in algorithms that that inhibit getting around human rights information on Facebook. Put up a dog or a kitty video. Oh, it'll go viral and everybody give you hundreds of likes. You know, put up a 5G post and, curiously, one or two likes. That's because it's being kept off of people's Facebook feeds because it's quote-unquote fake news, right? So, yeah, that's, you know, you're a great example, Mark, of what an awakened human being with important information to share looks like. And I love the cap and card story there, Nancy. You know, we need to be able to make it short and sweet and simple. Like, oh, you love the cap? Yeah, where the bee goes, there go we all. Oh, here, take this little card. Here's some great information. Get in touch with us. Have a great day. You know, to keep it that sweet and simple and not have people's eyes glaze over where you start to talk about evil Luciferians destroying humanity and the whole planet. You know, people are just going to walk away and turn off.
If I had just not engaged in their conversation, you know, because if I centered myself and just observed the conversation and let my heart, love, joy, you know, just imbue them, it would have turned out much better because they both would have identified, all three of us would have identified ourselves as resistant fighters. Okay, by the conversation.
Right.
And we would have come away with feeling like, oh, there's a group. People know. I can do this. Instead of, yeah. Oh my God, everybody knows and nobody knows what to do. That, you see, it really gets down to how are we going to fight? And the only way that we're really going to fight is to make people aware and to give them the idea that, look, it's a system. It can be taken down just as fast as it's going up. That's not the problem. The problem is behind the system. Who's doing that? And to understand that is not our job. Our job is simply to come together as, you know, 7.5 billion people. Come together and say, get off the planet. We're taking mm-hmm. over. You know, we have let somebody. Who is it? Because these two people, did not instigate this. They immediately went to, okay, this is terrible. Who's doing it? You know, and I was almost finding the cards and I didn't engage in that particular segment. And they're talking back and forth. And finally the cricket guy said, well, I've heard that it's reptilians. And the Maria, the pet shop owner said, I heard the same thing too. And I said, reptilians? Nah. I don't believe it. I know that they say that, but that's not the problem. The problem is human beings are building it. You know, and that was about the most I got back into, you know, what we should be telling them. Don't worry about who's doing it. Just worry about coming together. And that was one of the things in Taos that Taos happened was that the two girls get together and then a third girl gets in there and they went to the streets. They didn't use social media. I mean, they've got it, but they went to the streets. They got in front of the telecommunication stores and gave people information. That's why I'm so firmly convinced that if you just start talking to one another, you're going to find the organization will come together right in your neighborhood, right in your own home with the people around you. And that's how it's got to work because just like Mark's saying, we don't have any way of knowing if they're seeing our 5G posts.
Right, yeah. Well, I get reports all the time from people. I mean, I've got, there's a guy there, posts stuff up, tags me in it. I get a phone call an hour later. I go, did he watch the video? I go, what video? Well, I tagged you in this video. I've put it on your post. I've actually got it on your wall. I said, well, how can it see? It's not on my wall. And you definitely haven't tagged us. And this is a friend of mine. And, so the whole social media thing's totally controlled to the point where, and especially something as important as this, they are absolutely desperate. And, you know, over the last few weeks when we've had a massive growth in interest in 5G, the resistance has grown right across the country. This is so much more prominent because every other day I'm talking to somebody who said, I tried to get in touch with you on such and such. I've sent you such and such. You never responded. So, and it's because it, but that shows they are losing the grip of the internet. And we use the internet, but the more people that grow, these numbers are significant. They're significant enough where the small number that's coming through are enough to give people hope that we smash this evil. But I've also got to go back to, it's very important we know their battle plan. Obviously, you get people who want to do petitions, knock on council doors. People have to do more than that. People have to make lots more people aware about what's really happening, and that's how you tackle it. It's always best to know your adversary's battle plan. And if you've got...
Right. Excuse me, Mark, just to share it. The upshot in Taos, just to let people know, we covered this last week, and we are looking forward to having Rhys Jula and Jeannie Lotz and Falcon Britt, the three amazing women, who spearheaded, particularly Jeannie and Reese began it, the movement in Taos, that although the vote went against us at the county commissioners, 4-2, that the upshot of that, the momentum of that movement, isn't going away by any means. There is an awakened citizenry and now a really ticked off citizenry in Taos. And because of one of the expert witnesses, Dr. Sharon Goldberg, who testified at the county commissioners meeting in Taos, whose video, whose YouTube testimony in front of the Michigan state legislature has gone viral about the toxic effects of EMF and Wi-Fi. And she is an expert witness. She is an MD who is on the medical faculty of the University of New Mexico at Albuquerque. She's as solid as you could wish. What she said to our group after we lost that vote was, it's possible you can have an impact. This group, this well-organized, committed, enthusiastic group, can have the ear of the new governor. It's possible in New Mexico, and can have a statewide impact on making New Mexico a model state of safe, wired fiber optic technology, a 5G free, you know, model of how it can be rolled out. I mean, obviously, you know, the telecom lobbyists are going to fight that tooth and nail. But this is just an example to let people know that, you know, the impact of the growing movement is major, and it's growing. And this is just the story of one group. You know, there's dozens and dozens of others around the country and around the world that are breaking through. Yeah, so don't expect your Facebook posts necessarily to be seen by everybody. You know, we're going to have to get on the phone. We're going to have to text each other. We're going to have to meet in public. We're going to have to send each other, you know, repeated emails to make sure the word gets out, because these control mechanisms, censorship, are being put in place. So we're coming up on just the last few minutes of the show here. And Nancy, do you there's one particular thing I'd love for you to comment on and share with us, which is the caps. We're talking about this beautiful cap that has the image of the 5G, radio 5G logo of the bee, and says, you know, beware 5G, where goes the bee, go we all. And can we look forward to these being available soon?
Yes. When we decided that the only way to get what we wanted was to do it ourselves, I told Derek I was going to be very picky. And I'm very picky. So even though they knew that I was not going to be completely happy with this. And so we're making some tweaks to it. Okay. As far as the graphic goes, you know, and he's going to get them out there just as soon as we can. And not only that, but we're going to put out other products, not just the cap, like, I don't know, things you can put on your clothing and stuff. But because we need to identify ourselves. It's like, you know, let's get into the streets and see who's really out there, who's aware. You know, it's like putting on the glasses. You remember the one, They Live? Is that what they called it? That movie where you could see that people who look normal until you put the glasses on, and then they were creepy people. You remember that movie?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing, you know? It's like the hats are going to, you know, you're going to know who's real because they're going to be wearing those hats.
And they're nice hats. They're very well made. It's a cool logo. You know, we also have a mystic signature of Gaia. That's the other element on either side of the cap design, which has its own beautiful energy to it. But it's a really nicely made cap. And it just carries the message. There's the bee. Where goes the bee, go we all. Beware 5G. And people are going to stop you on the street and say, what's that about? We've got very informative little cards. They just say, oh, yeah, you need to check out 5G. It's dangerous. It's going to kill the bees, and we're fighting it. Here's your card. Have a nice day. And that's how it'll spread.
Mark, I'll send you a baseball cap when we get them ready.
Right. Of course, part of the problem with that, Mark, I hear that the one way to be definitely identified as a Yank, as an American, in the UK or in Ireland and elsewhere is if you're wearing a baseball cap in public, that means you're pretty much an American. You don't see ordinary citizens in the UK going around wearing baseball caps. But, you know, you're already stepping out bravely, my friend. So perhaps you'll be willing to make a fashion statement on behalf of 5G and wear an American-made baseball cap.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, I've always felt very close to the Americans. You know, you are our cousins. In fact, I was talking to Robert David Steele. I'm sure we're related somewhere quite a few years going back.
Sure.
Yeah. But, you know, so, you know, we've got it. We do actually have a very great connection, and we had great countries with great morals. And unfortunately, over the last few years, we've allowed ourselves to be taken over by monsters who've got very, very little when it comes to any moral fibre. I mean, you know, I was talking to a guy the other day. He had a British Gas operative on the phone, basically lying to them about having to install these smart meters, because in the UK, it's not like America or certain states in America. You do not have to have them fitted. You know, you can refuse. And this liar was actually on the phone to a citizen, telling them that the law stated they had to have one, that they were going to have to get them, and that the bill was going to go up if they didn't get them. And I mean, total lie to this poor lady. Now, I used to work for British Gas many, many years ago, by the way, when it was a corporation. I was actually embarrassed when she was telling me this story. Whenever I ever had organisations or companies or any organisation where people will deliberately go on the phone to deceive the consumer, you know, somebody contacted EE the other day, and EE, they're one of the big telecoms companies, and they said, it's all been tested, it's all perfect. I mean, I've got the text, I've actually had
it's outrageous. It's outrageous stuff. Well, like you say about our shared heritage between the U.S. and the U.K., you know, the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, and all men are created equal, and the principles behind the U.S. Constitution, they derived their inspiration from Magna Carta, you know, and from what took place in England when, you know, when the Commonwealth came in, Charles II was taken down and beheaded, and the gradual development of democratic principles in the UK and the, you know, against the divine right of kings, which is what took Charles I and others down. So, you know, we do have that shared heritage. And because of my love of the movement to restore chivalry and the true sacred science of the Knights Templar, I would just point out that Magna Carta was actually a Templar-inspired movement. The barons who came down and forced King John to sign it were, in fact, Templars. They were championing, you know, against tyranny, is essentially. And it took several hundred years. Part of the reason the Templars were taken down. And so today, you know, we're seeing that same thing. To me, that beautiful spirit of the code of chivalry, of defending those who cannot defend themselves, of preserving and defending sacred knowledge, that right now the cutting edge of that battle is 5G, and it's the same parties, it's the same principles, once more aligned up against each other on the same historic battlefield. So we are at 12:03 p.m. here in Crestone, Colorado, in the mystical San Luis Valley, and so we're going to wrap up our program today on Radio 5G. Mark Steele, thank you so much, my friend, for your courage and for your time and sharing with us here today. And thank you all for listening and being with us on Radio 5G. It's 5G-KNOW.com, 5G-KNOW.com. Lots of great information we're sharing with everybody there. So God bless us, everyone. And Nancy, do you want to say a farewell for us all and take us out into the music?
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you so much. Michael, same. And everybody be safe. We'll see you later. Thank you for listening. May it be.
Let it